you be seen with me by the merciless eyes I'm deceived.
Okay, welcome back to another with your host, James St. John Smythe. Today we'll be discussing the 2006 flick Casino Royale, starring Daniel Craig. That's right, we're doing a Daniel Craig movie. St. John Smythe, how come you don't do Daniel Craig movies? Why is it all just Roger and Sean, a little bit of Pierce? Well, I don't know. You could probably answer that question. Craig is it's a little bit of a downer sometimes. And I like Daniel Craig. But they aren't quite as fun of movies as the Connery, Roger era, Pierce. But I can't just leave this guy out, you know? And I certainly can't leave out one of, if not the best Bond movie ever. So, you know, we're all about diversity here at the Drunk Bond Podcast. So here you go. Here's the man. Here's Daniel Craig. And tonight, I'm drinking just some wine, just red wine. I had the house to myself, so I figured, you know what? Friday night, that's a classy meal. Another bottle of red wine, and you watch the classiest Bond movie ever. What is that? From Russia with Love. Which brings up the point that I like to talk about a lot is, what's the appropriate Bond movie to watch under certain circumstances? Friday night, nice dinner, bottle of red. What's the perfect Bond movie to watch? Saturday afternoon, Sunday. You know, what? Friday night, I'd say like old Connery. I'd say Connery, Lazenby. You know, like first six movies, and I'd let you get away with like Casino Royale and Quantum. That'd be a good Friday night movie. Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. That's completely different. That's Roger. That's Man with the Golden Gun. That's Octopussy. Spy Who Loved Me. Live and Let Die. View to a Killing. You know, those are fun times. You know, the day is starting. I would even allow Dr. No, Goldfinger, Thunderball, if you're going to the pool or something. Like, that's an appropriate movie. Sunday is more for, like, movies that just, they're not going to surprise you. They're not going to let you down. They're just solid Bond flicks. Tomorrow Never Dies. Thunderball. Octopussy. Even The World's Not Enough. You Only Live Twice. You know, there's a time and a place for every Bond movie. License to Kill I would even do on a Sunday. You know, it's a little heavy. Skyfall, it's a little heavy too, but, you know, I'll allow it. Depends on your hangover. And you need to make that decision, not me. I can't solve your problems for you, sir. Oh no. Only you can. So that's what I went with tonight. I'm watching all 24 movies before No Time to Die, and I think I only have The Living Daylights and A View to a Kill left. So I'll knock those out next. So, sorry, not too much on the alcohol standpoint, just red wine. And today we'll be discussing Casino Royale. So, do I have to go through the whole story of Casino Royale? Y'all know it, don't you? You probably don't know it. I barely know it. It's tough. I think we went through it last time. I can try to give you a quick, or as quick as you can when it comes to this. It's like the Thunderball fiasco. It's like, it's a fucking mess. This was obviously Fleming's first novel. And then in 1954, CBS apparently paid him $1,000 to make it into a TV special. And Barry Nelson starred as the American, maybe you've heard of him, Card Sense Jimmy. Jimmy Bond. Peter Lorre as Lechief. That's a big name. You had Clarence Leiter instead of Felix and Valerie Mathis instead of Vesper Lynd. I don't know. Weird thing. And then CBS actually paid him, apparently, to write, like, a bunch more episodes of, like, one-hour specials on the Bond character. That never went through. He turned that into, like, some short stories later in For Your Eyes Only and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, like, he sold the rights to a producer after that. And then the producer, I don't know, some other guy got it after he died. I really don't know. And you know what? In my defense, like, I don't even think the Broccolis know or the Flemings know. This shit's confusing. And whoever had it figured they couldn't compete with Bond in the 60s because this was like peak Bond mania. Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice. So they did a Casino Royale spoof, which is fucking horrible. I finally watched it before No Time to Die. It's bad. The cast is amazing. It's like Orson Welles, Peter Sellers, David Niven, Ursula Andress, Woody Allen. It's like insane, but it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. Bad movie. Take my word for it. Don't go watch it. And after that, the rights remained with Columbia. I don't know, dude. Like, Sony got it. And then Sony and MGM, like, traded the rights to Casino Royale for the rights to Spider-Man. Which, you can fucking have Spider-Man. I think I've made my thoughts clear on Spider-Man. I hate Spider-Man. So, we finally got Casino Royale. And then, meanwhile, remember Kevin McClory, the dude from Thunderball and all that shit? He wanted to... He was up, like, due to make another Thunderball remake for the ninth time. And he was going to do a two-picture deal with somebody. Thunderball 2000, whatever it was called. Warhead 2000. And a Casino Royale. And, I mean, goddamn, this guy is just fucking relentless. And the court finally ruled, I don't know. You can't have Casino Royale, bud. It belongs to the Broccolis. And you're like 90. Stop it. And stay stopped it. I mean, how many times do you think the Broccolis, during this whole fiasco with McClory, just thought, you know what? You want to just kill him? I mean, we got a fucking hell of a lot of money. And I'm about 90% sure that if we hire someone to kill him, it'll never be traced back to us. They'll be suspicious. They'll be suspicious. But, you know, a lot of people are suspicious about a lot of people, and they don't get sent to prison for suspicion. We'll probably, most likely, get away with it. And Chubby said, not now, but maybe later. So they finally got Casino Royale back, and they were able to make the goddamn movie, finally. So after Pierce and the Dine of the Day debacle, they kind of figured, you know, this thing's got a little out of hand, I think. And they cast Daniel Craig to get a little more back to earth, as they do a thousand different times during the Bond series. And they hired Martin Campbell to introduce our new Bond. And they figured, you know, it worked for Pierce. Why wouldn't it work for Daniel? And they went with an actual reboot, which I guess was invented by Batman Begins and all that. And I was not a huge, like, Bond fan at this time, so, like, I didn't really care. The blonde thing, I wasn't crazy about. He just didn't look like Bond, and I loved Pierce. But, again, I wasn't, like, a big a fan enough to, like, really give a shit. So, I didn't care. That's just a little snapshot into my 2006 life, you know? I was a 20-year-old lad, you know, just trying to get drunk and meet some co-eds, you know? So, let's start the movie. We get a no-gun barrel and a pre-title sequence. Let's talk about that pre-titles. Let's talk about it. Black and white, and we're in the Czech Republic. And this MI6 station chief, Dryden, he's going to his office. And he's been a naughty boy. He's been selling national secrets. Just little secrets, you know, not that big of stuff. Just like, you know, Susie has a crush on David, but David's got a crush on Jessica, and Jessica's dad touches her inappropriately. You know, stuff like that. And meanwhile, it cuts between them talking and Bond getting in a shit show of a fight in this gross bathroom with Dryden's contact. And everything just gets destroyed. The entire porcelain, sheetrock, everything. How did he die? Your contact? We had a disgusting fight in a public bathroom. It was urine everywhere. His hair was soaked. I almost threw up. Piss was in my hair. You know, I usually have to pay for someone to do that. And we destroyed every square inch of that. I don't think that bathroom was up to code, by the way. And, you know, I don't like to kill, but I enjoyed killing this guy for making me run around in that nasty, public, foreign bathroom. You know, they're not flushing there as much as you'd like them to. And I had to learn that the hard way. Anyway, I drowned him in one of those sinks. You know, if they had one of those sensors like an airport, he might still be alive to this day. But they don't have that there. God, is anything more annoying than those frickin' things? And ooh, as he died, as I was picking up my gun, my Bondi sense told me, ooh, I think he might be still alive. So I turned around and I was like, pachoo! And I shot him, I think, through his gun barrel, and he died. And there was blood everywhere. It was straight bad ash. Take my word for it, Dryden. And Dryden's like, you shan't worry. Your second kill is pachoo. Yes, considerably. And there you go. Bond gets his 00 status, and we cut to the title sequence and the song You Know My Name by Chris Cornell, I think, right? I'm not a big fan of this song. Am I the only one here? I don't get it. I mean, the song is like revered, and I'm like, what? Huh? This one? My old co-host loved this song. By and large, people like this song, and I don't get it. The title sequence is phenomenal. I don't like that there's no girl in there. That's what I don't like. That's usually a staple when it comes to title sequences. I'm not crazy about the song, but just going on visuals, this is probably the best title sequence they ever do. It's unbelievable. So there. I've said my piece as far as the title sequence for Casino Royale. And we cut to Uganda. And a guy named Mr. White introduces this terrorist, dictator, whoever, to Lashif. And the terrorist guy is Obano. And his whole thing is give the money to Lashif, and he'll basically give you access to it anywhere in the world, and you can fund whatever fucking horrible things you do for a living. You can go ahead. He'll give you the money, and you know, he's just holding it for you. Well, for a small fee, I would imagine. I mean, right of the second Lashif gets access to those funds, he just calls his broker and just says, I have the money. Short sell stock in Skyfleet. And Obano is like, well, what was that? A what now? What'd you say? And Lashif was like, nothing. It's like, no, right after I said, okay, you can have my money, I heard you get on the phone right in front of me and say, okay, I have the money. Short sell the stock. You're investing my money in stock? No. So you didn't just do that. I didn't just hear that. We're going to go that route? No, I didn't do that. So I don't know what you mean. Okay. If that's what you're going with, that's fine. However, if at some point I can't get access to these funds, you and I are going to have a fucking problem. Okay? And get your fucking eye fixed, too, while you're at it. I tell you, I don't want to be anywhere near this place. It just looks like it's raining. Everyone's hot. You got kids with like bazookas and machine guns. Everyone seems very upset and angry. They don't have running water. I'm making assumptions here. Everyone will want to kill me. I don't want to be there. Well, Sinjin Smythe, no one's making you go there. You don't have to go there. Hey, fair enough. I'm just, for the record, I don't want to go there. Don't make me go to Uganda. Not going. Not doing it. That's not going to be my next vacation spot. So, we cut to Bond in Madagascar. And it's not the good Madagascar, like from the cartoon movie, whatever that was. It's the bad, like hot, bad Madagascar. So we've been like, so far, the shitty bathroom, Uganda, that terrorist country, or whatever it is. I don't know anything about Uganda. And then now we're in bad Madagascar. Madagascar. And Bond's, they're watching like this snake mongoose fight, whatever the fuck they do over there. And his asshat of a partner just is touching his ear, like just not very spy-y as much as you'd like him to. And of course the bomb maker that they're tracking looks straight at his face and he's like, well, that was easy. Now I'm going to run away. And Bond just chases him everywhere. I'm assuming his partner just gets bit by the snake. Thank God, he deserved to die. Hope he gets bit in his stupid ear that he was listening to all that shit with. And this guy that he's chasing, Bond, he was like the parkour guy. Parkour. Remember that? From The Office and from Internet Times. This chase is like kind of unbelievable. Bond gets a bulldozer at one point. They're climbing up like construction sites. I'm not sure what they're building there, but they're building things. So good for them. I think the bomb maker like flies at one point. I can't prove it, but I think he flies. And he keeps just like climbing up and up and up and up. It'd be a Bond thing to just say like, well, I'm just going to let you like wear yourself out. I'm going to stay on the ground. You have to come down at some point. What are you climbing to space there? But Bond just like keeps climbing up with him and they get in a big fight a million feet up. And it's actually pretty solid. And after about like the 14th stunt in a row, Bond must be like, are you from the future? Who is this guy? Are you a robot? What's happening right now? This dude's like a all-star, man. And Bond's body is just getting beat to shit. And he's thinking, like, if my partner was not killed earlier by that snake, then I'm surely going to murder him when I see him again. That is, if I don't get murdered right this second, because I'm about to. It's not looking good for card sense. So he chases that dude to the embassy, African embassy, I don't know what it is. Goes up to like that front office, concusses that dude in charge on the bust of whoever, some terrorist, some dictator, some guy that we're not big fans of. And they more chasing and killing throughout the whole office. And he holds them at gunpoint, the bomb maker. And then everyone comes out, like alarms fire and everything. The head of the embassy is still concussed. So he comes out and he's like, Butterfinger, waterfalls. And Bond just shoots the gas tanks right there and shoots the bomb maker and just runs away. He's like, well, I just got my first two kills out of the way. I might as well, what's another 30? And he gone. So everyone's dead except for Bond. So we cut to Le Chiffre playing cards, bleeding out of his eye like a real loser. And he's playing Texas Hold'em. Weeping blood comes merely from derangement of the tear duct. Nothing sinister. I promise I'm not a Bond villain. That I can guarantee you. He's like playing some general. General's like, what the fuck? And Le Chiffre's like, I have two pair and you have a 17.4 chance of having a straight. And the general's like, oh, cool. I bet you're like fun at parties and shit. You know, nobody likes to know it all, Le Chiffre. And I'm leaving. Get me off this piece of shit boat. And we cut to London. M's pissed because Bond just, I don't know, murdered everybody and murdered that bomb maker that he was supposed to keep alive to, like, ask questions. And Bond just breaks into her room. You can't do that. Can't do that. It's the head of, like, the British CIA, basically. Can't do that. And where's the security? It's like Bond's apartment and Dr. No. Treat yourself to a padlock, man. You know? Can't do that. And Bond's looking through the bomb maker's text like a creeper. A couple of dick pics. See who he's dating. His dreams. You know, what he has planned for after his bomb-making life. And then eventually tracks his text to the Bahamas. Looking sharp in that gray suit. I think that's a gray linen suit. You don't see that very often. And he pulls it off well. Oh, no shit. He'd wear a fucking potato sack well. And Bond's driving a Ford something, a Ford Taurus or a Ford electric car. I don't know, but I hate it. I mean, God bless you, man. You got to make some money. You got to help fund this movie. Let's make some money here. I get it. But to be so obvious, like the Ford logo in your face and Bond's driving a Ford, it just doesn't work. It's like Moonraker level product placement in this movie. And I'll appreciate it. And I'm a staunch capitalist right here. But it's a little distracting. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I know y'all are done making the movie, so y'all can't change it now, but that's my two cents. And we cut to his Sony Ericsson phone, and he gets to the hotel. These girls pass him by and just staring at him. I just love that. I love any time Bond's walking by and girls just pass him by and just stare at him. It's just always a nice little touch. They have that a lot with Roger. And Bond gets there, he's tying his shoes, and some prick throws his keys at him. Are you going to take this or make me wait? He just assumes he's the concierge. And Bond just wrecks his car, which conveniently makes, I don't know, the entire hotel security just run out to the parking lot. Seems a bit much. It's like 80 people that go out. So conveniently, Bond gets to go to the surveillance center, whatever it is, to see who sent that text to the bomb maker. And again, conveniently, Dimitrios, a guy who's associated with Le Chiffre, is sending that text right in the front, right where the cameras are set up, at the exact time that text is sent. So Bond gets to solve that little case of his. So good for Bond, and good for all of us. And good for the audience, and good for you, and good for me, and three cheers for me. So Bond goes to the concierge, and he asks about the Demetrius' car. He says, I nicked a 1964 beautiful Aston Martin. And she says, hey, that's the year Goldfinger came out. And Bond says, what? And she says, that belongs to Mr. whatever, Demetrius. But if he hasn't noticed, then don't tell him. He doesn't really take bad news very well. Well, if I felt compelled to find him. And she says, well, he has a house just at the beach. And Bond's like, you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Just up the beach is a little vague. Should I just start knocking on doors? Can I get an address? And this concierge is just, she's instantly in love with him. He asks one question and she's like, I will die for you. I will do anything you want. And when I say anything, I mean anything. So Bond goes to his house. He swims there. Comes out like Honey Rider, which I just think is fantastic. And probably the hardest I laughed when I saw the movie in theaters. Because I just got what they were doing. It was just funny. And this is actually the little image of Daniel Craig that made everyone like approve of him as Bond. Because everyone was pissed because there's a blonde Bond and all this. And then when that picture came out of him coming out of the water, before the movie was released, everyone was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's alright. He'll do, I guess. These fucking 300-pound journalists that have never done a sit-up in their life, like, okay, I guess he's alright. Oh, is he? I'm so glad that he has your approval now. Fucking worthless. And Bond plays Demetrius in just a grumpy game of cards. This dude is graff. Grumpy as fuck. And we actually get Craig's first order of a cocktail. It's a Mount Gay and soda. Large Mount Gay and soda. That's a rum and soda, which is an interesting choice. And Bond plays Demetrius in that card game and ends up winning his DB5. It's quite the pickup in a short amount of time. I just love how pissed he is after he loses that DB5 and Bond says, oh, and the valet ticket? So Bond says, you know what, I'm not quite done here tonight. So he goes to get his new DB5, and he figures, you know what, I'm going to seduce his girlfriend as well. I mean, he's really kicking it up a notch. He's really upping the ante. So he go back to his room, and they start fugging on the floor, or they're, you know, mouth kissing, something. And he finds out that Demetrius is going to Miami. Miami? Dios mio! And leaves her some Bollinger and some caviar. I'm assuming she just trashes the room after he leaves. I mean, she was expecting some hot dick, and she doesn't get it. So she's like, fuck it. Destroy this room. So she does that. And good for her. Gotta get your rocks off somehow, you know? So we go to the airport. And I don't know if they're in Miami or Bahamas or I don't know where they are. And him and Demetrius get in like this little fight, just stabs him in front of everybody. You know, that's not cool. Can't do that. And again, starts being a creeper. Looking at Demetrius's phone. More text, more dick pics, naked kids, ass play. It's too much. So Bond finds a contact who's going to blow up Skyfleet's plane. It's like they're like unveiling their new prototype in the Miami airport. And the dude who's going to do it, Bond's following him. He's checking his keys, like, at security. The security guard's like, this isn't a detonator to blow up a plane, is it? No. Okay. Safe travels. Gets to be a little way too convenient that he keeps following this guy. He loses him, like, 3 different times in a dressing room, running around the airport through that door. And somehow the password at the airport is Ellipsis 2. I don't know how they get that changed. And Bond gets through, and he just starts sprinting around the runway in just everyday clothes. You can't do that. This is post-9/11, man. You can't be running around a fucking runway. I know it's called the runway, and you think you can just run, but you can't. Okay? That's how people get hurt. That's how people die. And he's just running around, and they get into this big fight. There's, like, no authorities, no cops, no sirens. They're just, like, doing whatever the hell they want. And this great fucking action scene takes place, though, struggling in that, I don't know, that tanker or whatever. At one point, they almost get killed by a landing plane. Like, no one told this plane, hey, don't land. There's terrorism going on. There's a disturbance. There's an incident. Don't, do a couple loops until we give you the go-ahead. Fuck it. You don't see what's going on? And he ends up, putting the detonator, the bomb, whatever the hell it is, on the dude's belt, and he kills him, and everyone's laughing, and, all is well. He's dead. He's all over the runway. It takes them a couple hours to just, like, mop up all the brain and the bones and the fecal matter and the urine. So because the prototype of Skyfleet didn't blow up, the stock didn't go down. And on Wall Street, I believe the term is fucked for Le Chiffre. And he lost $101 million. It's a rough day. Really took a bath today. So, back in the Bahamas, Demetrius' lady friend, Shegown. Le Chiffre's like, someone talked, and Demetrius is dead. The only one left is his wife, and I don't even care if she did it or not. Kill her. I gotta get my anger out somehow, so just murder her. It'd be fun. And Bond's like, oh shit, that was that girl I was mouth kissing last night. And M's like, quite the body count you're stacking up. And Bond's like, dude, I got a license to kill. What's the problem? You keep criticizing all the people I kill. I have a license to kill. And M's like, I'm not sure if you know what that means. That's not quite how it works. And Bond says, whatever, you know? You know, whatever. How about that? You ever come back to that? Whatever. And I guess, like, Guy Moneypenny starts yakking. The male, it's M's assistant or secretary, whatever, but it's a dude. And he starts yakking like a punk. So they notice that Le Chiffre shorted a bunch of stock. Shocker. Shorted his pants, too, when all that shit went down. I mean, even if Le Chiffre would have made a shit ton of money, they were bound to look into him, right? This plane gets blown up, and the day before, some dude sells all the stock, buys it all, whatever Le Chiffre did. They're going to be like, well, someone had to gain something by this, no? What did you think was going to happen there, bud? So Le Chiffre's going to organize a hold'em tournament, the poker tournament, to get all his money back. That's his big plan. And they're going to put Bond in the game. And M's like, according to Villers, you're the best player in the service. And I understand that your nickname around the water cooler is old Card Sense Jimmy. Card Sense! Card Sense Jimmy, they call him. Oh, boy. Oh, it's fun, isn't it? Who doesn't love the name Card Sense Jimmy? If you're familiar with the podcast, and I hope you're not, but if you are, you'll know that in the Casino Royale TV version, his nickname was Card Sense Jimmy. I just talked about it at the beginning of this podcast. Card Sense Jimmy. Imagine Bond in the first scene with Sylvia Trench. I admire your courage, Miss Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr. Jimmy. Card Sense Jimmy. Card Sense! Oh, it's always funny. Anyway, so Bond's going to go play at the Casino Royale so that Le Chiffre didn't get all his money back. Is that clear enough for you? You got it? Okay, good. Let's cut to the advertisements and the listener questions for the week. For the episode, whatever. Okay, advertisements. Let's see who's got it for this one. Oh, I remember these guys. Pinkies. Pinkies Bottomless Strip Club. It's only bottomless. They always keep their tops on, it's just only bottomless. Pinkies Bottomless Strip Club. Do you want to unwind and watch average-looking girls undress in front of your dumb face? Come to Pinkies, where the dancers have a real fucking attitude. Okay. They're not really selling it, but, you know, that's on them. That's their call. It's guff, guff, and more guff at Pinkies. And come for our Bullet Wound Wednesdays, where it's only girls with a haunted past. That's Pinkies Bottomless Strip Club. How pink do you like it? Oh, God. All right. That's got to be the grossest logo, right? I mean, doesn't get much worse than that. I think I heard of an incident at Pinkies, like a bomb that went off. Some sort of, like, attack. And I think, like, 60 or 70 whores died. And I believe the funeral was in a ditch outside the club. So, for the next couple weeks, things got pretty smelly at Pinkies. Listener questions. Listener writes, first time, long time. Hey, James St. John Smythe, you have a small pee-pee. Okay, guys. Only serious questions only, all right? A joke's not a joke unless everyone can laugh. That's hurtful, man. Yeah, well, if my pee-pee was so small, then how come your mom was, looking at it? Huh? How about that? You didn't think I was going to zing you back. You didn't know I was that quick. Grow up, bro. Not cool. Not funny. Not funny. So anyway, back to the movie. So we're on a train to Montenegro, and he meets Vesper on the train. Said train. I'm the money. Every penny. How was your lamb? Skewered. I think this was the audition scene they just released on that Daniel Craig's Era of Bond documentary, whatever. They had this scene. So, you know, there's a little fun fact for you in the middle of the movie. You like that? And they do the whole, I know about you, and you know about me, and they're going to guess back and forth. And when she sums up her thing, and she says, and since you went straight to orphan, I'm assuming that's what you are. And she says, I'll keep my eyes on the money and off your perfectly formed ass. And he says, well, since you went straight to my ass, then I bet you're into ass play. And I don't think she responded to that. I think she walked away. I think she already walked away by the time he said that. But that's what I got out of it. And they get to Montenegro and meet Mathis. And he is like the chief of police frame because he's helping Lashif. Which is a nice little Michael G. Wilson cameo. One of the producers. And we get back to the hotel. And Bond puts on his tux for the first time. I mean, come on. The guy looks about as well as a guy can look in a tux. I'd say as well as, shit, probably any Bond actor ever. I mean, the guy fills in the suit well. Connery wore the shit out of a tux, but I'd say Craig probably looks the best in a tuxedo, probably in this movie. Although I do think he looks pretty good in it in Skyfall in the casino scene. And they get to the Casino Royale, the big tournament. Type in the passwords. His password is Vesper. Again, this is like the Boris thing, knockers and chair. You think in a million years they let you have a password of Vesper, 6 letters. What about an emoji? Yes, and your uppercase and lowercase letter, Mr. Bond. And your symbol. Okay. And your emoji, Mr. Bond. Fuck is an emoji. It's 2006, bro. So they start playing cards. Vesper walks in the wrong way and just distracts Bond. Indirectly funding terrorism herself. They never mention that, but that's what she just did. So congratulations. And Bond orders a Vesper, which is just a great scene. And everyone else orders one too. And Lashif's having none of it. That it? Anyone else? Anybody want to play poker or no? Someone's in a hurry. Yeah, I am kind of in a hurry. I got a group of militant Africans wanting to chop my fucking head off. So yeah, I'm in a bit of a hurry, Mr. Lighter. I don't really have time to drink. I can't believe they're drinking martinis at this thing. If I drink a martini while playing a serious poker game like that, I mean, my game will go off the rails so quickly. I mean, anytime I start drinking like hard, like I'm drunk for blackjack, now granted, I'm playing $10 hands. I mean, I just stop caring. I'm like, fuck it, I'll win, right? But if I'm playing for $150 million, I might skip the booze. Maybe I'll drink after to celebrate. That's just me. I just had a Vesper recently, actually, a couple months ago. Okay, go on, Sinjin Smythe. How was it? It was good. I mean, it's no joke. Like, I wouldn't drink two. I wouldn't have a Vesper, and then when I'm done with a Vesper, say, I'll have another Vesper. That's a drink that you have, like, rough week. It's a Friday. You go to, like, a nice hotel bar, and you just kind of need to take the edge off. I'll have a Vesper. Like, knowing that you're not really going to drink much, you just can't need, like, a drink to take the edge off. I'll do that. But I'm not like going to dinner with some friends and having like 3 Vespers. You'll never see me again. It's strong. Not that a martini isn't strong, but this is, I mean, it's just gin and vodka mixed with some sweet vermouth and the lemon peel, whatever the fuck that's supposed to do. I guess there is some sort of essence in there, but all I'm tasting is just a odd combination of liquor, and I feel like I can breathe fire. It's not horrible if I'm in the mood for just a really good cocktail and I want to catch up with everybody. Give me a Vesper. I'll do it. And I'll order it again. But that's not a go-to drink for me. So there. There's my review. Middle of the movie review. There's a second review tucked in. What do you think about that? Huh? You thought at the beginning of the review was the only time you get alcohol reviews. No. Sometimes I sneak one in. And I just snuck it in right past you. So there. There's your Vesper review. So, Bond loses this hand to Lashif. And he goes get his Vesper from next to Vesper. And acts like he's kissing her. And she's like, this is me acting pissed because you're losing. And Bond's like, bitch, like this. You've been here for one hand. You literally walked in and I was in the middle of a hand. And it distracted me. And then I lost that hand. Did you want me to fold that? Like, if you look at the actual hand, Bond had a full house, kings over aces. Three kings, two aces. And Le Chiffre had, was it four jacks or something like that? There's like one or two hands that ever could have beaten him. The odds of that happening are ridiculous. So you want him to fold a full house? Not knowing a goddamn thing about the game? And you're just bitching at him? That's strike one, girl. You're an alert. So they take a little break. And Le Chiffre goes to his room. And as he's walking to his room, he's like, remember those Africans I was talking about? Boy, I sure do hope they're not waiting for me in my room. And sure enough, those Africans are in his room. And he's like, oh God, just kill her! Just do whatever you want to her, just leave me alone! I cut off your hand, but you need to play cards. He actually doesn't need his hands to play cards. I guess, I mean, one hand would be nice, but I mean, even with no hands, he could have some buddy, like, showing him his hand. He didn't need his hands at all, man. Why'd you say that? Ah, they're not from here. So they notice Bond in the hallway, and they just start getting this huge fight in the stairwell. I don't even know why Vesper's here. Of course, she can't get down the elevator. All the doors are locked for whatever reason in the stairwell, which is not... that's a fire hazard. And then Bond just kills these two Africans. Just... one of Peter Frank's favorite kills, the guy, he just kind of moves out of the way of one of them and just lets the momentum do the work. And then Bond does the work on the other guy, just strangles him. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to hide these bodies. Go get Mathis. And he just starts downing whatever, bourbon, scotch, whatever the brown liquid is, whatever. The first thing he can get his hands on, he just starts goosing it in the bathroom and changes his shirt for the first of like 1,000 times. And he plays a little cards, and he goes to Vesper's room, and she's crying in the shower, really pouting, you know. And Bond's like, what's the matter? You're still going on about those Africans I killed? Baby, that was so many moments ago. You gotta let that go. That was damn near half an hour ago. You gotta get over that. And they start sucking fingers, and they have a moment, and he pats her head, and they are now maybe in love. And she goes to bed. I'm assuming she just has like 6,000 night terrors throughout the night of those people dying. But, you know, that's her problem. That's not ours. We can sleep well at night. And Mathis puts the bodies in someone else's car. That's someone else's problem now. And, Bond ends up losing his initial stake, his $10 million. Again, off some, like, crazy hand, like, the best hand you can have. And Vesper's pissed and won't give him any more. And Bond's like, I'll kill you. Give me some more money. And she's like, no. And Bond's like, all right. And gets a drink. He sees Le Chiffre. And he's like, well, I got a good idea. It's called stabbing. And he puts on his lucky stabbing cap. And he's like, I'm just going to murder him all throughout this place. I would have actually loved to see that, if him just stabbing Le Chiffre in the middle of this nice hotel. And sees Mathis and says, get the girl out. And he goes to Le Chiffre to go stab him. And Felix stops him. And he's like, hey, bro, we're on the same side. I'm about to be out. We'll fund you. And Bond's like, what about the winnings? It's $150 million. And Felix is like, $150 million is like a penny that you find on the ground to us. We don't need it. We spend that much on aftershave for our troops. We're good. We just want to bring them in. And you can keep the money. So Bond calms down and gets back to the table. I'm sure Mathis is like, hey, a few minutes ago, I got the girl out. Why'd you say get Vesper out? Oh, I was going to stab Le Chiffre to death instead of play him in cards. I just got a little funny in the head for a second, but I'm good now. Okay. I think I'm going to have to keep my eye on you. So Bond just starts destroying Le Chiffre. Up and down, side to side, very little romance, very little foreplay. It's just all bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, Bigelow. And then Le Chiffre's fucking girl drugs his martini. Now we got another issue to deal with. And I think I said this before last time. I'm not even sure if it's the drug. I think Bond just had too much to drink, man. He's drank too much. It looks like a drunk person. He gets up, he goes to the bathroom to go throw up, and then all of a sudden he's wandering in the streets and he goes to his car. That's what a drunk person does. And he starts to like try to put himself back together. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. MI6, those doctors, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They have differing opinions on what the hell to do. It's like, guys, time is of the essence. I'm about to die. And he uses the, like, defibrillator or whatever, but he passes out because it's not, like, plugged in correctly, and Vesper comes in. I don't know how the hell she knows how to where to plug it in. I wouldn't know what the fuck I'm doing with that. And she saves him. But, like, where has she been this whole time? She saw him getting up. I mean, he was in distress. And you're just getting him to him now? I would have followed him to the bathroom. You know, we're working here. He just got up and went to the bathroom. You just stayed at the bar looking all hot. Nah, man. You and Mathis need to go look after him. We're working, people. She's like, you need to get yourself to a hospital. And he's like, yeah, I will as soon as I win. I'm gonna have about 6 more martinis. I'm gonna have about a 6,000 calorie meal to like celebrate because I just won 150 million. And I'm gonna have some violent, like heart pumping sex to finish the night with you, if that's agreeable. And then I'll go. Then I'll go to the hospital. I promise. I'm gonna do it. You have my word. And Vesper's like, you're not going back in there, are you? I wouldn't dream of it. And she's like, is that a jab at the night terrors I've been having? Because they're relentless. They won't stop. You making fun of my night terrors? So, Bond gets back to the table and he's like, okay, guys, I need to file a complaint. I got, like, machete-wielding Africans trying to slice me up, running after me in the hallways. The building's not up to fire code. I was drugged just now. This is not, you know, not to be like a child about it, but like this is kind of not fair. And no one really, you know, responds to Bond, so they just start playing cards again. And Bond's like, fine, I'll fuck y'all too. I don't even like y'all. Well, I'm going to win all this. I'm going to buy this fucking hotel. So Bond wins. Big dramatic last hand, you know. And as he's reeling in all the chips, he just looks around and says, well, guys, they don't call me Card Sense for nothing. Card Sense! Card Sense Jimmy. Oh, that's why they call him. And they have like this wonderful meal, just them two by themselves. They walk in like, hey, restaurant's closed. It's like, oh, no, man, I got a lot of money. Well, we've been closed for 4 hours, sir. No, you don't understand. I'm buying this restaurant. I have an obscene amount of money. We need some drinks and we need some caviar. And that's what I require. You gonna do it or not? I'm pretty flush with cash, and it's burning a hole in my pocket. Name your price, sir! So Vesper, like, just leaves dinner, like, hey, Mathis needs me. And Bond just, like, thinks for a second, is like, Mathis. And just runs after her and, like, knows she's kidnapped. No idea why he knows this, what happens there, but he does, and good for him. But I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's why I'm not a secret agent. I don't know what happened in his head, but somehow he knows. And Le Chiffre and his guys capture Vesper. And Bond follows in his new Aston Martin. Sees Vesper in the middle of the street and just, like, flips his car 6 million times. I think it set a world record for most flips or something. And when they get to Bond, Le Chiffre says that Bond's friend Mathis is actually his friend Mathis. So Mathis is apparently a bad guy. And takes him to this, I don't know, dungeon, house, whatever, to torture him. For the password for the money. Why haven't like the Americans taken him yet? After Bond beat him in cards, he went to Felix and said, he's all yours. Now I'm not sure what crime happened, like before and after the game. If you can arrest him after the game, why couldn't you just arrest him before? I don't know why they would have arrested him, but he said, he's all yours. Get after him. Why is he like still cahooting with his henchmen? What's that about? Do you know? Because I don't. So they bring Bond to the dungeon cave, whatever. And they're like, so what you thinking, Le Chiffre? What you got up your sleeve? And he's like, it's a tough one. Thinking maybe just pounding his nutsack over and over. I'm just going to pound it. Okay, is a rope okay with a knot? Yeah, it's fine. Just as long as the nutsack's involved, that's good. So he's asking Bond all these questions. He's like, Miss Lynn will give me the account number. All I need from you is the password. It's like, okay, well then why'd you put her in the middle of the street for me to run her over? Asshole. That wasn't smart. Was it just for a cool little moment? Why would you put her in the middle of the street? How'd you even have time? I was like 3 seconds behind you. But that's neither here nor there. And they hear gunshots as he's about to slice his fucking dick off. and someone just comes in and kills the chief. I'm not sure why they keep Bond alive, but well, you know, I guess we can get to that later. And Bond's like wakes up in a half coma, whatever, and he's like, "Oh, Vesper, Vesper," and Vesper walks forward, and he's like, "No, not you. The drink, Vesper. I just need a drink so badly." And Bond wakes up and talks to Mathis, and they have him tasered to Almighty, and give him a nice once over somewhere. Just some good old-fashioned torturing that we can all get behind. And Bond and Vesper are talking, and they say, "We are in love." And they fuck, and she's like, "I'm quitting my job. I have a little bit of a soul left, and I'll salvage that while I can, and I'll run away with you, and we'll just do whatever." So that's it. End of the movie, right? Oh, no, not right. Vesper getting a little graphic. And she's like, "Well, you had me there. You could have me anywhere. Here, there, anywhere. Oral, anal, vaginal. Jesus Christ. Coming on strong. Sexually. Real flusy." So we cut to Venice. The happy couple. They're going to Venice to just love each other. And we see, whatever, eye patch guy. He's got glasses on with eye patch. And Vesper has like a quick BM. And it's like, fuck. So after she wipes up, they have sex again, and Vesper leaves, has to go to the bank or whatever, and M calls and is like, "Hey guy, you got that, just a small discrepancy in the books, we're missing that $150 million you were supposed to deposit today." And Bond's like, "Well, shit, okay, I'll deposit it right now." And he calls that Swiss dude, and he's like, "Where's the money?" And he's like, "Oh, it's being transferred out right now." And Bond should be like, "I don't suppose you could, like, put a hold on that transfer. We've been hacked. It's stolen. I'm a representative of Her Majesty's government, and I order your Swiss ass to stop what you're doing. Or I'm taking the next flight to Switzerland, or wherever the fuck you live, and I'm putting my foot up your Swiss chocolate hole." Chocolate hole, that's his asshole. He's going to put his foot up his ass, in case you didn't know what I was talking about. So they realize Vesper betrayed him, and Bond's like, "Bitch!" So, he goes to run around and finds Vesper, and goes into, like, this random building, and they start having this big shootout. Nice nail gun to the eyeball, kill eye patch guy, that's always fun. And Vesper just, like, drowns herself, like a bitch. And Mr. White's looking on, the guy that killed Lechiffre earlier, and the guy from that introduced Lechiffre to that dictator dude. And he walks away with a big briefcase full of money. So he's got the $150 million. So, after that, we kind of get, you know, in the epilogue, we find out what happened. So, the organization behind Lechiffre, who we all know as Quantum, kidnapped Vesper's lover as like a backup plan so that, basically, we'll keep your boo alive if you give us the account numbers after the job's over. And she agrees. And that's how they knew about, like, the homing device in his arm to take it out. That's how they knew about Lechiffre's tell, and it wasn't Mathis. And apparently, like, during the torture, the reason why they didn't kill Bond was because she made a deal. She'd give him the account number if they spare Bond's life. I mean, they should have been like, "Nah, lady. The deal was, you give us the money, and we won't kill your boyfriend. That was the deal. It wasn't, you give us the money and we won't kill your boyfriend and some other fucking hottie that you decided to just start banging and fall in love with and run away with. That wasn't the deal. So fuck you. We're murdering him." That's how that conversation should have gone. And a guy who just so happens to be British Secret Service and is investigating us. Keep him alive? Nah, man. I think we kind of hold all the cards right now. I mean, everyone loves Vesper, but, like, imagine this. Someone you're in love with, because M says they were in love, like madly in love, whatever. Let's just picture your wife or your husband, and you're an accountant for the government, and you're on a job, and your wife or husband, who you love, gets kidnapped by this terrorist group, and they say, "We won't kill him if you give us the account number at the end." Now, you're, like, out of your mind stress right now, right? And you go on this mission, and whether you're going to do it or not, who knows? Whether you're going to, like, be loyal to the government or loyal to your love, I don't know. But I bet in the middle of that you wouldn't just start fucking someone else cheating on whoever your lover is, and you just say fuck the mission and run away with them to go live life happily ever after. I bet you wouldn't do that. And people have like Vesper on like Mount Rushmore of Bond girls, and I don't like hate her, you know. Like she's got a nice back and forth with James. She serves a purpose to the plot. She's very good looking. She's fine. It's a good Bond girl. But if you want to get in the weeds here, you know, she's not super admirable. That's not very nice to do. And what about that poor bastard who got kidnapped? We learn at the end of Quantum that he's like a piece of shit, but like we don't know that now. He's just a guy that she's in love with. And you know, I would have let all this slide if we wouldn't have to hear about Vesper for the next 5 fucking movies. I swear to Christ, if I get into No Time to Die and they bring up Vesper, or if I can even sense that Bond's thinking about Vesper, I'm simply going to scream. And I mean it. And the one person you pick to handle the money, they had a boyfriend that just got kidnapped by terrorists. You didn't, like, find that out or, like, whatever, man. Bunch of goddamn jerk-offs. So anyway, Bond and Nim are talking. I guess he's not retiring after all. And since Vesper's the treacherous one, Judy's like, well, this clears Mathis. And Bond's like, oh, no, you can keep torturing him for funsies. I mean, he's there. Like, you might as well torture him. I mean, how often do you get to, like, practice torturing on people? You know, you might as well just keep torturing him. It'd be fun. Okay. And you destroy all of Venice. So we need to talk about that, too. And Bond's like, okay, so, but is that not included in my license to kill, or... And M's like, no, matter of fact, why don't you come into the office and we'll discuss that license to kill? Because you seem to think it's some sort of like pass to quite literally do anything you want. And it's just not working. And I was like, okay, all right. But to be clear, I can't do anything I want with my license to kill? Okay. All right. Well, you know, roger that. That's my bad. My first mission. Okay. This is why we do these things. It's a learning process. Must have been my broken heart. So Bond, for the third time in the movie, starts going through someone else's phone, going through Vesper's phone. There's tit pics, there's beaver shots, text with her old boo, makes him scream. And she also sent him info on Mr. White. So he tracks him down, calls him, shoots him, does the big famous Bond, James Bond, in credits with the Bond theme. It's wonderful. And there's Casino Royale. There's your movie. There's your flick. What'd you think? I liked it. I loved it. You know, I wasn't like super into Bond at this time. During the Pierce era, I was into it. And then there was like a 4-year gap. And I don't know, I just didn't care. When they cast Craig, I was like, ah, it's a blonde Bond. That's, you know, I'm not crazy about that. But I wasn't like taken to the streets like other people. But I went to see this in the theaters by myself. And I fucking loved it. I had like zero expectations. Like, this was nice. Like, I had no idea if Jeffrey Wright was Felix. So when he introduced himself as Felix Leiter, I was like, oh, shit, that's awesome. It's kind of nice not knowing everything about a movie before you go see it. Of course, we hadn't seen Felix since, well, I guess Dalton. Dalton had Felix in both movies. But did Roger just have Live and Let Die? And we hadn't read much Felix in a good while. But anyway, like when he did the Bond, James Bond at the end and the Bond theme, like I fucking loved this movie when it first came out. And still love it. Great reviews, and it's considered with From Russia with Love to be the best Bond movie of all time. And that fan poll of people on Twitter, like 800 something fans, I think Casino Royale was number one, with From Russia with Love number two. So this is a pretty, and every time I watch it, man, I'm like, god damn, this is solid. And there's no Money Penny, there's no Q, there's no gadgets. The usual Bond stuff that we like isn't even in it. Of course, I kind of give it a pass. This is like a quote unquote reboot. It's just a well-done movie, man. Just a solid time. Craig is fantastic. Vesper, I think I've made my thoughts known on Vesper. What do you think? Lechiffre is terrific. He keeps climbing on my list, by the way. I used to just think he was so-so. He's great. The whole poker thing, when it first came out, I was like, oh, Jesus. Not, like, Bond's playing Texas Hold'em. But it actually works. Like, they do a good job of showing it. At the time when this movie came out, like, Texas Hold'em was huge in America. But they actually do a good job of filming it so that everyone can kind of understand what's happening. Oh, really, St. John Smythe? How do you know? You already know enough about the game, and you're not a foreigner. So how do you know they understand? All right, fair enough. Maybe you don't know what's happening. But Bond won. You know that, don't you? You know that kings are better than queens, right? You know that a 9 is better than a 7. So you know a little bit. Don't give me that shit. Fun facts? You want to hear some fun facts? I'll give you some fun facts. I'm not sure if I really have any fun facts. The Asian lady playing cards at the Casino Royale, she's also the girl at the beginning, in the pre-titles of You Only Live Twice, that helps have Bond, quote, assassinated. So that's a fun fact. That's a real fact. So, you know, you take that with you. And it's the only fun fact you get. So you got to make the most of it. So there you go. There's Casino Royale. That's all I'm going to say about it. Check us out on Twitter, Jump On Podcast. Check out Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, that network we're affiliated with. Okay? They got all kinds of things going on. I don't know what, but, you know, wheels are moving. Wheels are in motion. Things are happening. Take my word for it. And next time we'll be discussing, maybe From Russia with Love, since I'll watch it tonight. And that was one of our early episodes with Peter Frank. Maybe we'll do that next. So. All right. Well, we'll see you kids next time.